Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. How you doing today? I'm glad you could join the program. Man, we got a good one for you today. Author Jay Forte. Let me tell you what he's done. He's written a book called The Greatness Zone, and he's speaking to us as ex-offenders on how to mold ourselves and to find the kind of employment and get the kind of happiness out of work that we deserve. This is an extremely powerful program. We're going to be back with Jay Forte after a couple of words. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. I just want to let you know what's coming up in the next few weeks on the show. And I'll tell you, the calendar just continues to fill with excellent guests that have targeted their information to ex-offenders. And you don't want to miss these upcoming shows. For example, we've got Mike Koloff coming up soon. We've got Jim Pomponi. We've got Jenny Triplett. We've got Commander Club, fresh off his visit with Oprah Winfrey. They're all coming up in the month of February. You want to be sure and stay tuned for those right here on The Journey of Hope. Everybody, and welcome back. I have on the phone with me Jay Forte. Jay is the is a former financial executive and corporate educator. He's president of Humanetrics, and today we're going to be speaking with Jay about his book, The Greatness Zone. Jay, how are you today?
Rodney, I'm doing great, thanks.
Super.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and I want to ask you just right off the top, it seems that greatness seems in short supply in today's world, and there are so many people living and working in just enough or in an average way. Why do you think this is happening?
We need 2 hours for that one. I think the biggest thing that I'm finding in my work with the Greatness Zone is that people don't know that they can have it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
That too many times the voices around them say, this is what you should do, and this is who you should be, and this is the way it is. And the more we let that happen, the more we don't connect into our own internal greatness. We don't let ourselves decide what greatness is for us. And we're, you know, the media is good for this. Our cultural and family traditions are good for this. They always tell you, here's what you're supposed to do, here's what you're supposed to be. And I think they falsely set us up to be living basically somebody else's life. I know they don't mean that. You know, I know they don't mean to keep us small, but I think we've just gotten into the history that says, at this point of life, this is what you do, and this is our career, and this is the way it is, instead of blowing the whistle saying, now, this is my one great shot at a life. What do I want for it so that it is truly extraordinary? I think if they had that conversation, more people would see that greatness is within their capability.
And given the fact that the audience here is ex-offenders, ex-offenders don't have to be satisfied with something menial, correct?
Yes. You know, in fact, I love your show, Rodney, because ex-offenders, I think, get hit a lot in mindset, and my own personal perspective, and I believe this for everybody, that there is that spark or that light or that element of greatness in all of us. And we have that both obligation and responsibility to identify what that is and to not let the world tell us that for whatever has happened to us, that we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
That there is greatness in all of us, and it's still our responsibility, regardless of what our pasts are, of ensuring that we identify what it is and live it. And I think, you know, personally, the one of the greatest ways of ensuring that the footprint in life is the one that you want, regardless of where life has had you,
mm-hmm.
is when you look deep into yourself and realize that your own voice acknowledges that you're pretty terrific, even if the rest of the world sometimes doesn't seem to say that to you.
Then why would you say that, you know, given the fact that ex-offenders are limited in some of the things that they're able to do for employment, why would you say that ex-offenders are so unhappy with that kind of employment? I mean, what would be the reason for that? Obviously, it's stuff that they don't want to do, but how would you address that?
My way of starting all the time, we do something we call greatness coaching. And greatness coaching is a little different approach, and the reason I mention it is that it's looking at three areas of our life: our work, our life, and our spirit. And we may see that some of the career opportunities for ex-offenders may be more limited than other choices they would have, but there's still two other really big parts of their life that have the ability to access some greatness. So how you live and who you live with and what you choose about that and your spiritual side are two really big components
mm-hmm.
of life, that even if the day-to-day of the work thing is not your favorite thing, the ability to change mindset based on loving the rest of your life and
mm-hmm.
Developing your own sense of spirituality. I'm not suggesting that it be anything particular, other than I think we're all by nature kind of spiritual beings as well,
mm-hmm.
in that in the absence of doing some spiritual work, you know, Native American or nature or organized religion or any one of those, I think there's a component. When I find that as they pick up, because some one of, you know, that like the work component
mm-hmm.
isn't your favorite thing, it is doable to change your whole outlook about things. I'm also one of the mindset that says, as you show up and do your best, that the universe has a pretty good job of starting to show you some other opportunities. But it requires that you be committed to doing your best.
Mm-hmm.
And that means knowing yourself, knowing what you're intrinsically good at, what do I like doing, what am I good at, and do I have an opportunity to do some of that in my job? And if I could do that, I would start to show people that whatever they're thinking of is in the past is not at all what I'm about. I'm about showing up and doing things in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's about the balance. That if the job isn't great, I can change my mindset about that job by trying to work on the pieces that I do control more, and they may be life and they may be spirit.
I realize that's a very difficult question that I threw out there at you, but let me just give you an example. There are a lot of people that walk in my shoes that you'd be surprised how many people go to prison that have college degrees, for example. I used to be a school teacher, and I coached football, and since I've been home from prison, I've had jobs like, you know, I worked at a car wash and, you know, telephone sales. And I guess what I'm trying to ask you is there a way to make yourself happy in those kinds of employment situations? And what I think I hear you saying is that you focus on what you can do best and some of the other areas of your life that you can improve in. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. At all points, that's one. And there is something else that we call job sculpting, and it takes it does require a little bit of a more forward thinking type of manager that in a role that you might be in. Job sculpting requires us each to know what we're really good at,
mm-hmm.
and then to look at our workplaces. And even though we may have a particular role, let's say you're in the car wash. And you see that, you know, the job right now is, you know, I got to wash the cars. But you know, based on your own intrinsic abilities, the things that you're really good at and the things that you're passionate about, you're also really good at some other aspect of it, of the sales side of it.
Right.
So you So you go to your manager and you say, here's something else that I'm really good at. Could I just take 1 hour a week and work on maybe doing some telephone calls to bring people in? Or, you know, I'm really good at visual merchandising. You know, I don't know why, I just have this natural gift about seeing color and seeing the way things are. Would you, for the next 2 weeks, let me spend just 1 hour. You don't even need to pay me for it, maybe. Let me show you that I'm also really good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And what we generally find is if there are aspects of your job that you don't like that much, are there ways of looking at your world and finding some of the things that you love to do and could bring to it? And if you got to do that even a little bit, it changes your outlook about the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to speak this week at a school, and we know there's a host of teachers at this school who just don't even like to be teachers. But, you know, it doesn't change the fact that their role is to inspire greatness in the kids. So our approach with them is to say, well, let's look at the rest of their school day and find out some of the other things that the school needs that you would love. And in the process, if we could realign you just a bit, we start to help you see that there are, that we change your attitude and outlook about what you do. When you have 10 minutes or an hour or 2 hours of something great in your day, even though the rest isn't your favorite, it changes the way you approach it.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it isn't your favorite, you start to do it better. And that's how people notice you. And then start to see that who you are is how you approach your day, and who you are, not what your past is.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads into my next question. How do people go about identifying the things that they're good at? You know, a lot of ex-offenders will try to start from scratch and go back to school to retrain. How can an ex-offender go about identifying the things that they're going to excel at?
To me, this is a process that doesn't need any school yet.
Okay.
So my own personal perspective is that we're each hardwired. In fact, science supports it. We're hardwired to be good at some things and not others. We love some things and not others, which means we have some natural talents, strengths, and passions. And the best way to identify them is to basically say, okay, what am I good at? And there are a couple of ways of figuring that out.
Okay.
On my website, and just because there's plenty of tools out there and they're for free, they can go on and they can take a talent assessment. I think there's a small charge for a talent assessment. But a talent assessment is a little tool that starts to give you language about the things that you're good at. Many times we don't know what we're good at because it's just our natural way of looking at things. Our brains, we're hardwired in a particular way. So if you're a really social person, you don't know that you're really good at connecting with people. It's just the way you do things. A talent assessment sometimes will start to give you language to say, oh, that's something I'm really good at. Another way that doesn't cost any money of figuring out what you're good at is to ask people who know you really well. And a question I generally like to ask them is, when you introduce me to somebody, how do you explain me? And generally when we explain somebody, we go right for the things that they're good at. So if you were to check with a family member or a friend and say, how would you introduce me to somebody? What are the things they say? Well, Rodney's really good at this, and you know his favorite things are doing this. And you start to get the outside world's view of what they see in you that sometimes we can't see ourselves.
Right.
And I have a third one. These are all different ways you can do this. And this is my favorite. I happen to like to write, so okay, if you don't like to write, maybe this is not going to be your favorite. But journaling is a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Journaling is when you slow the world down and you write down what you think and what you feel, and in the process, you start to get really connected to who you are. You self-discover. And if you're going to figure out what to do now that your life has been rewritten for you or starting all over again, the biggest thing to do is to be really self-aware. Do I know myself really well? Do I know what I'm good at? Because I should put myself into any opportunity that will let me play to what I'm good at. I'll naturally excel at something, a job that needs what I do best. I'm a pretty detail-oriented person. I'm not much of a salesman. So if I had to go into a sales job, I just by nature wouldn't be that good at it. But I was an accountant before I do this teaching. And that was a really good and easy job for me. My brain worked the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So if I knew that about myself, when it came time to looking at opportunities, I would find opportunities that match me, that match the way that I think. So the first one is, what am I good at? That's a couple of ways.
Uh-huh.
The second thing is, what am I passionate about? What are my hobbies or what are my interests? Or what the question I like to ask, and I made my kids do all this too, is what gets you out of bed in the morning? If you had to set your alarm early, what would the event be that would be good enough to get you to get your alarm set early? And then start to see, okay, here's what I'm good at. Here's what I'm passionate about. Now, where are the opportunities that would let me do that?
Mm-hmm.
If I had that, I would show up in a workplace and be at my best on the first moment.
Mm-hmm. Your book, The Greatness Zone, is all about finding your true self and building a great life around what is important to you. And I'm just curious, you talk about being passionate. What is it that drives you to be passionate about these things that you're doing?
I spent most of my life living it in a really small way, unaware that I was doing that. And I had to make some big changes later in my own life about my own identity that showed me that you have to be courageous and you have to own your own life. And if you don't, you get a little life. And if you do, you get a life far bigger than the one you thought you were going to have. So in that moment, as I had to make some big life changes myself, I knew that I just got dumped onto a new road in life and I had to figure it out. And for some reason, figuring it out seems to be my gift.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did for me is what I wrote in the book and said, look, wherever life lets you or shows where you are, there's always a way for you to figure out, you know, do you know yourself well enough? Do you know your world? And can you figure out your best fit, even at this moment? Maybe it's going to change in a little bit, and that's all right. The world keeps changing. But the one thing I do know is you're hardwired to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you're good at some things, and you're passionate about some things. Know those. And when you know those, and you know your world, you will always figure out the best places for you to be if you make that effort. And that was my whole life. And I left the whole financial world because as okay as being an accountant was, I wasn't passionate about it. It didn't get me up in the morning. And helping people realize their greatness, maybe it's a little bit selfish here. I just imagine that if we were all playing to our greatness instead of to our averageness, we would have a world that's a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not meant to sound, Miss Universe type thing here. I truly get that, you know, the world is built by the people who are here in this moment. And if these people are playing to their greatness, then the world they build is a bigger one. And if they're doing what everybody tells them they're supposed to do or puts all these limits on them, then we get a really average world. And I just personally don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. So that's the power that moves me to say, you know, there's an easy process. And we make most of the resources for free or as little as money as possible so that people can see that they have choices and that the choices need to be theirs, to pick their best life, to start it again whenever that might be, but to always make good decisions about who they are, what matters to them, and what impact they can make in their world.
You do have some very excellent online resources. One is called Stand Out and Get Hired, and another is called The Hunt for Opportunities Success Manual. I wanted to ask you, though, do you still think that anyone can be anything they want to be, including an ex-offender? How would you address that question?
I don't think you can be anything you want to be.
Okay.
I think you can be anything you're supposed to be.
Okay,
maybe that's
excellent.
I would love to be a concert violinist, but you know what? I just don't have that talent. And no matter how hard I work on that, I could be good but not great. And we're in a world where you really need to excel. That means stop trying to be something you're not. Instead, spend the time to figure out what it is that you got. So I know that that's not one of my talents, but I do know that speaking is, and I do know that writing is. And those are different forms of art. So instead of me stressing myself out trying to be something that I'll just never be great at, let me figure out the things that I'm naturally inspired to be great at and try and build from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think regardless of wherever anybody is, because they're, and the reason I say that, Rodney, is life is always changing. So no matter what's gone on, if you know yourself and you know today's world, you have really good information to make good decisions. I know that there are real complications sometimes with being an ex-offender, and therefore that doesn't make it easier on some. But I do know that the more you know yourself and the more you know your world, you set yourself up to make better decisions.
Right.
And I think over time you prove yourself that regardless of the stigma or the status of that, I think really wise people look at people today, not where they were, but where they are today. And if I have people showing up doing an extraordinary job, you know what? We're human, and some of the other things that happen. So today, right now, is what I want to think about, mm-hmm. not where things were. And my whole process in coaching in the Greatness Zone is to change that mindset that says, you know, be in the moment, know what is your best moment, and make the decisions that let you have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can do that, you also change the world around you, because they start to realize that it isn't about the past, it's about where you are today. And I think, personally, that would help an awful lot of companies get over the stigma of who to hire and how to hire and all that stuff. And they
right.
look for talent. They look for extraordinary performance. In fact, I call it the M&M. The candy coating on the outside doesn't matter. What I hire is filling. I hire passion and I hire talent. And the rest of the stuff, I don't care about. So I will always hire well in today's economy if I look for things that matter. I'll always be distracted if I look at things that don't matter. So the more that I can get the message of the Greatness Zone out there, the more I can change mindsets both of companies and schools and churches and all the rest,
mm-hmm.
that people have natural gifts, and that's what we should be looking at them for.
Jay, I want to switch gears here just a little bit. I've noticed that that you talk about your kids, and you know, a lot of us that listen to the show, including me, we have children, and the last thing we want is for our children to make the same bad decisions that we made. And how can we use your materials to help us help our kids flourish and move in the right direction?
The best way, Rodney, that I suggest is to think of yourself as a coach. And a coach's role in life, and life coaching or spirit coaching or even athletic coaching, is to help them self-discover and then to guide them to make decisions that are meaningful for them,
mm-hmm.
Based on who they are and what matters to them. We have a little routine in my family. I have three daughters. My kids are 24, 23, and 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
And when each of them graduated high school, we have a baton, and we pass the baton to them, or we offer it to them. And we say, look, in the last 18 years, we have tried everything we can think of to help you identify who you are and to show you how big the world is so you could start to determine where's your fit. It doesn't have to be what I do. Consider it if you like. But none of my three kids are remotely close in career path to what I do, and I'm fine with that. My job was to say, here's how big the world is. Let's have a dialogue about what you see, what you feel, so that when it's your turn to make a choice, you've gotten some input from me, but when I pass you the baton, I'm holding you accountable for developing and creating your own great life. And when you take this baton, you get it all. You don't get to give it back. So choose wisely, so every day you wake up thrilled by life instead of aggravated by it. So watch everything, pay attention to everything, and I think that the biggest thing that any parent can do, regardless of their past, is to have an open and honest discussion about who you are, what moves you, and where are the best places in life to do that or be that. And then you find that life is a series of really positive, happy events. And I think anybody, regardless of their past, can have that discussion with their kids.
Jay Forty, the book is called The Greatness Zone. Jay's materials are absolutely excellent. I highly recommend that you go and check out his website and see what all he has out there. Jay, how can people get in touch with you and find your book?
We have, Rodney, and thank you for mentioning it. And we have a pretty robust website called thegreatnesszone.com. You can find a book, but you can also find a huge amount of resources. And my recommendation all the time is sign up for the daily greatness inspiration. Every morning we'll send you something to help you remind you that you know every day is a great one. So here's somebody else's words, sometimes mine, somebody else's wise words about starting on a big positive note. There's even a button you can click so that if you want to start journaling but you don't know how, I'll send topics to you twice a week. It doesn't cost anything. I just want you to get in the habit. I throw out things like, hey, what do you think about this? So just write one page on whatever comes to mind. And also every Thursday there's a Living Life in the Zone newsletter. Sign up for that. So there's the book, the resources, and plenty of free things. We're in the process of getting out to the schools and starting a great life movement as well.
Wonderful.
That the kids have to make. And I encourage, you know, all of your listeners and everybody to make a declaration of greatness. You know, from this point on, I choose to have a great life. I know myself, I know my world, and I find the places that let me be great. And then we, with the kids anyway, we send one of those, you know, the band, like the Live Strong band.
Right.
But we have one that says great life. You know, I choose to have a great life. I think that's a decision that all of us need to make instead of just presume it happens because, you know, we're fully accountable for our lives. We own these. And the more we play to our talents and our passions and know our world, I think the more we have the opportunity of having a great life, regardless of where our past is at.
J40, I want to thank you for being on the Journey of Hope. It's very informative. Thank you so much for being here.
Rodney, entirely my pleasure.
We're going to be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Keep those cards and letters coming. You can catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, MathersRodney. Let me hear from you.
Kiss me out of the bearded barley nightly, beside the green, green grass. Swing, swing, swing the spinning step. You wear those shoes and I will wear that dress. Oh, kiss me beneath the milky twilight. Lead me out on the moonlit floor. Lift your open hair, strike up the band and make the fireflies dance. Silver moon sparkling. So kiss me.
Well, that's all we have time for. I want to thank my special guest, J40, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.